Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LeDuc. In Anna Ziegler's new play, The Last Match, Tim Porter and Sergei Sergeyev face off in the semifinals of the U.S. Open. Porter, a statesman of the game, Sergeyev, an up-and-comer with unharnessed potential. Gay Taylor Upchurch directs The Last Match for the Roundabout Theater Company, where it runs at the Laura Pell Theater in New York City through December 23rd. Alex Mikowitz plays Sergei Sergeyev. His previous work with Roundabout includes the recent Broadway productions of Long Day's Journey into Night and Thérèse Raquin. I spoke with Alex in New York City a few weeks ago, and we begin our conversation by having him describe the show for us.
The setting of it is a U.S. Open semifinals men's match set in like a present-day environment. It starts with the match itself, but it goes in and out of the minds of these two players playing it, the one being Tim Porter, this aging, it's so weird to say that.
For an athlete,
he's in his mid-30s.
Right, not old.
Not old at all, but from an athletic standpoint, you know, towards the end of his career, which is something it really tackles a lot as well. So Tim Porter, who's this been this American star who's won many Grand Slam titles, and he is going into this match with a rumor floating around in the press that he could be retiring after this U.S. Open. And so he's pit against my character, Sergei Sergeyev, who's this up-and-coming Russian kind of phenom in a way that everyone kind of has acknowledged his potential. He has these moments of brilliance in his game, but he hasn't won his first Grand Slam title yet, so he's struggled to break the top 10 in the world. So it goes into the match of these two players, the semifinals match that has happened in the past, at the point now of the play. Actually, I should correct myself of what I said before, which is that we're kind of looking back on the moment and tapping into moments of the match that happened for the guys. And it goes in and out of their minds throughout the match. What's happening going on in their heads, what could be taking them out of the match, or where if something is happening in the match, feeling defeated, where that takes their mind, and the kind of back and forth that happens in a player's mind in a tennis match. Tennis is referred to as like the loneliest sport, and I love that, you know, tennis, unlike any other sport, you are completely all alone. I mean, there's golf and there's boxing, but in golf, you have a coach that you can talk to. And boxing, you can also have a coach, but you can also, like, you're touching someone. You have physical contact with someone else. This play really examines what's so unique about tennis and how you can really kind of self-destruct, or you really rely only on yourself. You don't have any teammates. You can't talk to your coach. You're far away from your opponent, and how isolating that can be. And so what that does to the psyche. And so in the play, we go through these flashbacks. We cut in these hard turns from a moment in the match to a flashback of each player's life and their relationship with their significant others.
You don't have rackets. It's more of like an experiential movement of tennis rather than you're not playing a match. There's not a bunch of balls bouncing off the stage hitting audience members in the face.
Yeah. The tricky thing about the play is that it jumps so quickly from a flashback to a moment in the play. You could hit a slam or a serve and then cut right to, you're in a hospital room. So our director, G.T. Upchurch, who's amazing, she wanted us to be able to make those jumps as quickly as possible. So she entertained the idea, and it's something we stuck with, which was the idea that we never actually hold a tennis racket. We never hit a ball. You never see a tennis racket. You never see a tennis ball. But also through the use of movement and sound, those two, the visual sense and the audio sense, like those are enough for the audience, I think, to be taken to the moment. And we can achieve what we want in terms of representing the moment in the match, and not have to, deal with any kind of extra props or, balls flying into the audience or anything like that. So we can jump back and forth very quickly, and it really allows, because the play is very fast-paced, and if we were to interrupt that pace by, like, okay, now we put our rackets away, and now we're in somewhere else, like, so the set is very minimal in terms of, like, set pieces, so it allows us to jump so quickly back and forth through the flashbacks and the match.
That sounds like if the play has to coordinate the sounds with your movements, which of course you've practiced a lot. It's not like you're willy-nilly like playing out a movement. It sounds like a complicated show for the stage manager to call.
Oh yeah. Our stage manager, Sam Watson, she's amazing. So I also got to work on this play before when we did it in San Diego, and it was we actually had less tennis then. We've added a lot more tennis to it now, so the job is almost like doubled in size, because she's not only calling all the sound cues but the lighting cues as well, which are, there's a ton of those as well as we're jumping from, you know, in time and space. So her job, she's above the balcony, so she's like two floors up from where we are. She has a monitor and she has a little window where she can see us, but she has to have her face buried in a script where she has all the cues written down based on the lines. And then she's also looking up from that and looking at visual cues from Wilson, who plays Tim, and myself, as we're like setting up the movement. So we have like the wind up for a shot. And so she's getting ready to call it, and then she calls it right as we're about to pull forward and finish the shot. So how she does what she does, I have no idea. I just know that we've had to practice it a lot. Her job is insane. I don't know how she does it. She probably has the toughest job of all of us. But it is kind of cool because it gives us this freedom as well. Like, there is a structure of like when we're going to hit the shots, which is very choreographed and very tight and rehearsed. But we do actually kind of have a freedom. Like, I never, with the exception of like a serve, on like, there are some sequences where there's like a series of, I'll have like four straight shots or something like that. And I mix it up night to night. I'll do like, okay, you know what? I feel like I'm going to do like three forehands and then one backhand on this sequence tonight. And that's what I'll do. And Sam just keeps up with me. And Wilson does the same thing. We mix up our shots from night to night.
What was your relationship with tennis before getting the show?
I had a very, you know, I was a very, you know, loose fan. I would tune in when, you know, the majors were on TV and I would watch. I wasn't like a diehard, I wasn't a loyal fan to one player or another. I was always kind of weirdly, loosely fascinated with the sport. I was always drawn to it, and whenever I did tune in to watch it, I always found it just was such a beautiful sport to watch. And they make it look, it's, you know, just like any athlete, but I feel like with tennis especially, they make something look, something that is so hard, look so easy. I mean, I've had the experience of walking on a tennis court and trying to hit a tennis ball and make it land on, you know, in the playing area on the other side of the net, and it's hard. Like, they make it look so easy, you know, and with the force at which they're doing it and the accuracy that they do it time and time and time again. And on top of that, the stamina that they have for these long matches is insane. So once I started working on the play, I became a bigger fan of the game. I'd start watching a lot. I would study, you know, tapes and matches and tune in every time one of the Grand Slams was on. So I became a larger fan as I continued to work on the play.
I've never tried it because I feel very sure that I would like try to step sideways quickly one time and both of my ankles would break.
Yeah. Well, the footwork is so important. And like, and yeah, I also, you know, it's like I'm not the most graceful on my feet, you know? So, there's like one day Wilson, when we started working on this play, Wilson took me out to a court because he's played his whole life. He's really good. And he's, you know, he's got great form. And he's, you know, like I said, he's played his whole life. So he took me out and we just did some like drills, not even with rackets in our hands. We were just out in like the grass and just like doing some running drills. First of all, I couldn't keep up with him. I was like crushed after like two rounds. We're doing like these great finds, and it was just all about the quick movement of the feet. And because there is so much footwork that is involved, that you don't even, any like loose fan would never watch and think to watch the feet. But he pointed out some things as we were watching some tennis, like things to look out for and how they're kind of fancy kind of footwork that they use. And so, yeah, the footwork is really important. And I also am in that, you know, category, if not the most graceful. So I would, you know, trip over my feet a number of times, but it happens. And you pick it up and, you know, you learn as you go, just like with anything else.
You also have to do an accent for this show.
I do, yes.
Had you ever done this particular dialect before?
No, I'd never done a Russian dialect before. My first shot at it was when I first read the play aloud, when we did a reading of it a few years ago. And I believe that reading was actually Anna Ziegler's, the playwright. It was her first time hearing it aloud. And it was my first time giving a go at a Russian dialect. I've, you know, crafted it a little bit more over the years of working on it. It's a tricky dialect, mainly because Russia is so huge. There's so many different variations of a Russian dialect. Like, and the trap I wanted to really avoid was like doing some kind of like stereotypical, you know, Bond villain, right, you know, Rocky and Bullwinkle kind of Russian dialect. But also on top of that, Natalia Payne, who plays Galina, my girlfriend, We're both Russian, but we kind of did our work on our Russian dialects separately because there is such a broad spectrum of the dialects, and we agreed that we didn't come from the same town, we didn't come from the same part of Russia, so we wanted to, you know, find specific sounds that were unique to our, just unique choices that we made in terms of our dialect, because you can make specific sounds about, like, you know, THs and, you know, like sounding like S's, or the I or sounding like an E, like in this, it's this, and things like that. Like, there are consistent sounds, but then there are many different variations. So we kind of did our work separately and then brought it together for the play.
And you never get in rehearsal and the director or somebody goes, oh, no, what are you doing now?
Actually, there is a funny story that I, this happened in this rehearsal process, kind of later on in the rehearsal process. I have this line, two different lines where I say the word purpose, and my dialect was so thick that, what's the line? I would say, like, he was born with a racket in his hand and a purpose, but I was saying, my director finally sat me down and told me, she's like, every time I hear you say the word purpose, it sounds like you're saying porpoise. So I was like, born with a racket in his hand and a porpoise. And so then I had to, like, just for that one word, like, just kind of take a step back and lighten up the dialect so no one else thought I was saying the word porpoise. So it's been like a kind of a running joke.
Really distracting. You'd be like, I guess maybe that's from, like, a Russian fable. Like, you're born with a porpoise.
Yeah.
And
yeah, exactly. So I was like, oh, so now when you – oh, gosh, now I'm going to – everyone, anyone that hears this and comes to the show is going to be listening for the line. No. But they're like, you know, I just say purpose. I just let go of the dialect for one word just to avoid sounding like I'm saying porpoise.
Alex Mikowitz plays Sergei Sergeyev in Anna Ziegler's new play, The Last Match, running at Roundabout Theater Company's Laura Pels Theater in New York City through December 23rd.
You have worked with Roundabout before?
Yes, I have. I've understudied two of their Broadway productions. One for Therese Riquin. I understudied actor Matt Ryan and Gabe Ebert. And then I understudied for Long Day's Journey Into Night, which I understudied both the Tyrone Sons, played by John Gallagher Jr. and Michael Shannon.
Being an understudy on Broadway, what... This is too broad, but we'll start with, what is that really like?
It's crazy. I think people will say it's the hardest job on Broadway, and I kind of have to agree with that in the sense that, like, so for, I'll give you an example, like our understudy, the two understudies that we have in this play, J.D. Taylor's understudying myself and Wilson Bethel, and the understudies don't start rehearsing until, like, the week of our opening. So they just sit and watch our rehearsal process. They'll come in late in the rehearsal process, probably the last week, and they sit and you watch and you just take notes and you just write and every page of the script where I stand, where there's a hit, you know, some acting notes that are given in notes and stuff. So you just spend a lot of time watching it and then you finally get to jump on your feet, but after they've kind of already been doing it for, we had like a 3-week preview process. So I did the same thing when I was understudying. I would come in the last week of rehearsal and I saw like these runs. And I just do all the, you know, I memorize all the lines on my own, which you have to just do, you know, you can maybe rehearse with the other understudies as well. But ultimately, you're kind of like set up for failure in a way because you're expected after your first week of being there, of just seeing the show, to be able to go on. And so you just know from watching, you don't get to, not until you have an understudy rehearsal do you get to actually, you know, maybe wear a costume or parts of the costumes and be on the stage. And even then, when and if you do go on, you're saying these lines with people that you've never spoken the lines with before. If you're lucky and you know ahead of time that you're going to go on, you know weeks in advance, they'll have a put-in rehearsal where you get to go in and do the show with the rest of the cast. But, which was also my situation, I went on for Therese Riquin, for Laurent, for Matt Ryan's role. And I had about 15 minutes notice before I went on. And I had no time to rehearse a single line with any of the cast. You know, it was Judith Light, Keira Knightley, Gabe Ebert, you know, all these. And one of my best friends, Mary Wiseman, was also in it as well. And I had no time to rehearse with any of them. I had no time. And did you see the production has these large scene changes, you know, set changes. There's a body of 12,000 gallons of water on the stage. I got to rehearse that by myself and with the other understudies for, you know, twice. And it's like it was a real test and super nerve-wracking. Every night, you never know if you're going to go on until the actor shows up. it's such an insane job. And also, at the end of the day, which was also the case for the Long Day's Journey, is that you can do all of that work and kind of never really get to test it out. You know, you never get to have the experience of doing the show. You have the understudy rehearsals, and you get to, you know, rehearse it and be on the stage and say the lines and do that work. But sometimes you want to, like, you know, take it out for a test drive, and you don't get that opportunity. So it can be a thankless job a lot of the times, too. So it's difficult.
You're on in this one.
I'm on in this one, which is such a relief. You know, you get to, like, go through the whole rehearsal process. You get to, you know, fall on your face time and time again and try things that work and don't work and explore and make discoveries and have that whole rewarding experience of the rehearsal process. And then even continue that throughout previews and throughout performances and really develop these amazing relationships with these other actors and these other characters. And really feel a sense of ownership. I mean, we've been doing the show now. I mean, we've been, you know, performing it or going up on stage and having an audience just feels this. I feel an immense sense of ownership of this role and of this play. It's just a joy, and we get to just really kind of kick back and have fun with it now, which is awesome.
Alex Mikowitz plays Sergei Sergeyev in Anna Ziegler's new play, The Last Match, running at the Roundabout Theater Company's Laura Pels Theater in New York City through December 23rd. To learn more, visit roundabouttheater.org. That link will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable.